From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Aras Peña with your state and local news update. Hospital workers began processing COVID-19 tests locally in Juneau on Tuesday. Emergency operations officials say the new testing lab at Bartlett Regional Hospital started small with tests of people getting screened before medical procedures. Emergency Planning Chief Robert Barr says after workflow kinks get smoothed out, the local lab will process the samples the city has been collecting at its fire training center,
which should be, knock on wood, within a week or so.
Then test samples won't have to be shipped to an out-of-state lab. It's expected to cut the turnaround time for results from 2 or 3 days to the same day or the next day. Other recent COVID developments include that the city is giving people age 65 and up first dibs on appointments for the next vaccination clinic. Juneau seniors can register early beginning at 9 a.m. today through the city's COVID-19 hotline at 586-6000. For everyone else eligible, registration will open at noon Thursday on the city's website and through the hotline. There has been a small spike in case numbers since the city lowered the community risk level last week. Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove says that's just a coincidence. The effect on case numbers wouldn't be apparent this soon. Among the cases in Juneau identified in the last 2 weeks, most of the spread was through secondary transmission, meaning healthcare workers figured out who spread it to whom.
So, you know, if we've got a lot of secondary transmission and we know that people are quarantining, we're not as concerned as we might be with even a fewer number of cases where it's community spread and we have no idea how those people got sick and they don't appear to be connected at all. That's of more concern to us.
Cosgrove says the spikes also correspond to large family groups getting tested in batches. And we have a clarification to a story that aired on Tuesday, yesterday, about Dr. Gil Truett and a holiday in his remembrance. The story incorrectly stated that Gil Truett Day has been celebrated for years. This year marks the second annual Gil Truett Day. And many Petersburg residents are rallying behind a family left homeless after a February 15th fire destroyed their Scow Bay rental. Donations have poured in and fundraisers have begun, but not everyone was so nice. Hours after flames gutted the house, looters entered the wreckage and stole firearms and other treasures from a safe. KFSK's Angela Denning has the story.
The shell of the two-story home still stands, blackened, but the inside is a pile of rubble on the ground more than a week after the February 15th fire. The fire was so hot, the glass on two large aquariums had melted. The barrels of antique guns had warped, hanging on the bedroom walls. A week before, Darcy Mallory told me she had awoken to her partner's shouts.
Mike was like, "Fire! Fire!" And I jumped up out of bed immediately.
Mike Olson had fallen asleep on the couch, but had woken up at about 4:30 a.m. to see flames licking up the outside of windows. Mallory says he opened a door to let out one of their dogs, and smoke billowed in, setting off the smoke detector. But just for a moment.
It was like, and then the power went out.
The smoke detector was hardwired and apparently had no battery backup. She says everything went black and quiet. There was an eerie orange glow from the flames. She yelled for her son, who was asleep in his bedroom, then ran to her own bedroom, grabbing her phone and a blanket, which she wrapped around her son, 15-year-old Joseph Myrick. By then, the flames were about knee-high at the front door.
Like, it was so smoky. You could barely breathe. You're choking on it. Joseph was like, "I don't want to go through the flames, Mom." And I'm like, "I don't care." And I just shoved him.
Meanwhile, Olson had been running in and out rescuing their two other dogs. The whole thing took just over a minute, she says.
By then, like, as we came down the stairs, I mean, the back end of my truck was already in flames. Like, everything, it was just gushing up around. Like, it was crazy.
She had bought the truck new last year. They stood on the icy road, watching their home of 6 years burn. Mallory wearing a tropical dress top with shorts. They were barefoot in the cold.
You're standing there and you're on the phone with 911 and it's just engulfing your whole entire house, and everything that you own is just being burned up, all your memories, like everything. Like, you lose so much of it, and it was just horrific.
They were able to get the three dogs outside, but they couldn't find their cat until 10 minutes later.
The glass doors shattered, And he come barreling out through there like a ball of flames, just ball of flames coming flying through. He hit the boat, rolled into the snow, and took off down to the waterside.
They found him later that morning with injuries and flew him to an emergency pet clinic in Anchorage where he's recovered. Almost immediately, people started coming forward to help. Neighbors drew them indoors for warmth. They got a call from a local clothing store that would open early for them to get some donated clothes.
This community has been so awesome. Like, I can't even begin to express my gratitude to everybody for everything that they've done. Like, I don't even know how to start. And I'm really thankful for the EMS and the PFD, for the fire department, the dispatch lady that stayed on the phone with me. She was there listening to me scream, "No, what is going on? Why?"
But not everyone has been so kind-hearted. A fireproof safe had been left behind in the back bedroom. The family says it went missing the night after the fire. She says they called the police.
Because there was a couple of handguns inside of it, vital records, social security, checkbooks, gems that we had mined when we went to Arkansas 3 years ago.
She says she can't understand why people would steal from those who have already lost so much.
You can tell that the house is burned down, that we're trying to salvage stuff, and for somebody to walk up and take the safe. That's the only bad juju I've had throughout all of this. Everything else has been really good juju.
That's what she chooses to focus on. Mallory says she fell in love with Alaska when she first visited as an 11-year-old. She grew up in Idaho, and as a young adult, worked for years in an ammunition factory. Her wrists grew tired of the repetitive movements day after day, so she put an Alaska map on the wall and threw a dart.
The dart had like little silver and blue ends on it. It was a metal dart, and I pinned the map up, and I landed on Kuprinoff Island, and the biggest town that was next to it was Petersburg.
That was 13 years ago. She's since gotten into a routine of working at a local shipyard, raising her son, volunteering, and gardening. She always believed it was fate that brought her to the town of 3,000. She says that after losing her home, she has seen that the gamble has paid off. Her friends have been supporting her through the crisis. Friends like Debbie Martin, who has gotten the family in temporary housing and is coordinating donations.
I knew that their need would be great immediately. It's different when you help somebody get to the store and get groceries, but when somebody loses everything that they own. Sorry. You do what you can do.
But there are some silver linings. That night, without really thinking about it, Mallory had shut her bedroom door, and that's where firefighters would later enter the building. From that room, they were able to salvage some vital records, a few totes, which included her grandmother's handmade afghans. Olson acted as a human fire alarm, only because he had fallen asleep on the couch that night. And he wasn't injured, besides a slightly singed arm. And then, the outpouring from Petersburg's community.
It's really humbling, honestly, to have people bring you all this stuff, and you're just like, wow, I didn't realize that I had that many friends in the community and that many people that cared.
There's an account set up for donations at First Bank in Petersburg in the family's name. There are still some items that the family needs. One request, wildlife posters for her teenage son's room. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The family still needs some furniture. To donate household items, people can call Debbie at 907-518-4493 or Andrea at 650-0468. And Petersburg's COVID cases continue to climb from an outbreak that appears to have begun last week. There were 36 positive cases as of this morning at 8 a.m. The positivity rate of those being tested is just over 9%. Petersburg has 3,000 residents located on Midcoff Island here in Southeast. Case numbers are growing daily, with many residents calling the local COVID hotline with symptoms, according to the Petersburg Medical Center. A contact tracing team from the state of Alaska has been dedicated to the community. And Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy tested positive for COVID-19 earlier today and is suffering from what his office is calling mild symptoms. On Saturday, Dunleavy was exposed to a person who later tested positive for the virus, his office says. He received a rapid test Sunday, which came back negative, and he has been quarantining in his home in Wasilla since then. Dunleavy's office said he was feeling well until Tuesday night and then tested again Wednesday morning and was positive. The governor's office has not provided any details about Dunleavy's close contact who tested positive for the virus. Dunleavy is 59 years old. He is being monitored by his attending physician and chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, and his office said they will provide the public with updates as needed. This is KTOO News.